added to base value. Cost 10. Dark Vision 2. Gives dark vision with a radius of 100 yards. Cost 20. Psi Poison. Your dragonling's teeth and claws will now exude a stronger Psi Poison. The poison now causes a slight amount of health, mana, and stamina damage. Chance of spell misfire increased, and now there is a slight chance for spell backfire. Cost 40. He was tempted to boost her armor again, but he'd already given her a further 2 points of defense. Him being a mother hen wouldn't keep her alive. It was important to make her well-rounded. Flight speed was definitely a possibility, as was Chameleon. She was already pretty fast, though, and he didn't have the points to get Chameleon to a useful rank yet. Richter wanted to increase her Psi Poison trait. She had already proven herself a great help against Magi. The fact that he could harvest the poison from her was also clutch. It turned his arrows into, if not wizard killers, something that would still ruin their fucking day. What he turned to, though, was the fact that she was invaluable for recon. Their psychic connection let him know whatever she saw in real time, and the traveler's map basically made her as good as a satellite for anyone standing near him. In less than a week, they'd be taking a portal powered by dark magic to some undisclosed location. He was willing to bet someone else's left nut that it would be dark as shit there. Nodding to himself, Richter chose two crystals. One was from a level 11 prowler and another was from a level 12 tusker. He pulled Alma down from her perch atop him and held her in his left arm. Then he brought the crystals in contact with her skin. A prompt appeared. You have brought your Psi crystal in contact with a mental creature. Would you like to expend the energy to enhance your soul familiar, yes or no? He chose yes. The slowly spinning light in the crystals focused on Alma. The dragonling almost vibrated with pleasure as she devoured the energy. A beam of energy flowed into her mouth and eyes for a second. Then, a large pulse shot from the Psi crystals into her. The jewels turned to worthless gray rock. Alma lay back, using his arm as a hammock and purring in intense satisfaction. Know this, pure psychic energy can enhance the characteristics of your Psi Dragonling. Each level of a Psi Crystal equates to one Psi Point. Current Psi Points available, 23. Any unused Psi Points will be lost after 24 hours. Now that she possessed the raw psychic energy, he made his choice. You have purchased Dark Vision 2. Your familiar may now see up to 100 yards in pure darkness. Total Psi points remaining, 3. The greedy glut cracked her eye open a moment later, gaze locked on the other 4 gems. Her tone was as innocent as a cat staring at a mouse.
Wonderful, Master. What are you going to do with the other crystals?
With a roll of his eyes, Richter just dropped his left arm and let her fall to the floor. The dragonling let out a squawk of protest, but between flaring her wings and her natural agility, she landed on her feet. Don't be greedy, he thought to her. Richter could have used the Psi crystal he still had from the Alpha Dreamar. With it, he would have had more than another 40 Psi points to spend. He wanted to keep a higher level crystal in reserve, though, just in case he needed to supercharge Alma's abilities. The dragonling started complaining, but Richter didn't pay enough attention to hear if it was about him dropping her or that she wanted more Psi crystals. Randolphus phased back into view.
The tunnel branches several times up ahead. I observed several small packs of tuskers and a few solitary prowlers. Their levels are only 1 or 2 higher than what we have already seen, however. The greatest preponderance of tusker tracks continues down the main tunnel. I suggest we clear out the side passages as we go. The monsters I've seen shouldn't pose any serious danger to us.
Everyone was in agreement, so the party made their way down the tunnel. It was made of rough-hewn stone, just like the passage leading to the entrance chamber. After a dozen yards, the floor transitioned from grassy dirt to rock. The tendrils of roots hung down from the ceiling, and in random places, tufts of grass and other plants sprouted from cracks in the rock. Here and there, small rivulets of water ran down the walls. The air was cool, but not cold,
and patches of moss gave off a faint light. The tunnel was wide enough that four of them could walk abreast comfortably, but they kept their formation tighter than that. The Decamerni took the lead, with Yoshi right behind him, the two of them being the most expendable and strongest, respectively. Richter and Randolphus came next, followed closely by Hisako and Bayon. The Hearth Mother had cast a spell that illuminated everything for 100 yards in each direction, as if it were noon, feeling the moss was not sufficient. Tirad and Sion pulled up the rear, looking behind them periodically to ensure nothing would flank them. Just as Randolphus had said, there were only a few beasts here and there. None of the side tunnels extended more than 70 yards. Some terminated in dead ends and others in small caverns. The monsters were dealt with quickly. A few more blood-red orbs appeared, giving a handful of coins. After clearing each side chamber, they moved further down the main passage. It was clear to both Randolphus and Richter that the prints they were tracking were increasing in frequency as they went deeper. The tunnel twisted this way and that, sometimes rising in elevation, but more often falling. After another 20 minutes, Richter started hearing loud, squealing noises. The tunnel turned sharply, so they could not see much farther ahead. Randolphus stealthed and went to investigate. When he reappeared a few minutes later, he nodded and said, "We have found the lair." The spy described it as a large cavern, though not as large as the first room. It flared outward like a lady's fan. Only tuskers were in the room, but there were more than 100, and their levels ranged from 10 to 20. One boar in particular was half again as large as the rest. The bony spines coming from his body were much thicker and were black as opposed to the white of the other tuskers. The worst part of the layout was that there were no obstructions near the entrance. A few large rocks were situated at the rear of the room, but as soon as they entered the room, they would be seen. Richter and Randolphus could probably slip in with stealth, but against 100 monsters, even they would be overwhelmed. "I suggest we attack head-on," Randolphus stated, surprising Richter. "The lair beast is distracted right now. I believe we could remove a large portion of their number at the start of the battle, and we have little other choice." "Why is it distracted?" Sion asked. Randolphus winced slightly. "You will see."
"Whatever, man," Richter replied. He was in a good mood after the easy battles, so there was humor in his voice. No matter what Randy was hinting at, it couldn't be anything his party couldn't handle. The spy also would not have advised a frontal assault if he thought it wouldn't succeed. Richter sent Alma to scout ahead so he could see it for himself. The dragonling flew a short distance and grabbed hold of the wall before slithering around the corner. Her dark vision served her well when the tunnel turned sinuous and Hisako's light was lost from sight. A minute after she'd left, Alma saw the cavern and discovered what Randolphus had been referencing. Richter's own eyes widened.
"Well?" Sion asked, impatient now. "What is it?"
Richter opened his mouth, but didn't speak, looking at Randolphus. The Chamberlain just smirked and shrugged in response. Turning back to the sprite, Richter made a half-wince face and brought his hands almost together. Then he separated them, rotated each 90 degrees, and brought them almost together again. "They're making baby tuskers, especially the big one with the black spikes. I feel bad for that lady monster." The plan they came up with was fairly simple. They would enter the cavern with the tanks out front. Sion and Richter would imbue their arrows and take out as many as possible before the battle began. Hisako would slow the monster's advance with a crowd control earth spell. After that, they would just let the tuskers come to them and kill them as they did so. Their tactics were a bit cocky, but then again, their party was insanely overpowered. Everyone buffed up again, and they attacked. Hisako cast a quick light spell, a white glow surrounding her hands. To Richter's surprise, when she began a second casting as they approached the lair entrance, no light surrounded her hands. Her first spell must have been to remove the telltale glow that casters normally made when using magic. It meant that the tuskers would have zero warning before her attack. After 3 seconds, she stepped into the room and released the energy she'd summoned. The Tuskers immediately began squealing in alarm and anger, but the damage was done. A forest of 6-inch stone spikes erupted, extending the width of the cavern and covering 20 yards of its length. The barbs were angled in multiple directions, seemingly at random. One of the pigs closer to the cave entrance was caught in the AoE and panicked. It ran this way and that, spikes scoring against its belly. Though hard, the spikes were also brittle, and more than a few snapped clean off on the Tusker's own bony protrusions. That didn't save it. It eviscerated itself in a loop of intestine caught on one of the spikes. The sow ran another 3 feet, its own organs falling out behind it before it collapsed. A spike pierced its brain where it fell. Richter looked at his ally in shock. Apparently when Hisako heard crowd control, she thought horrifying bramble of eviscerating spikes. Hearthmother, Australian for badass. Yoshi, Tirad, and Bayan's pet rushed into the cavern as soon as Hisako had finished her spell. Richter and Sion followed right after and began to imbue. Randolphus stealthed and moved to the side while Bayan and Hisako took up the rear. Even as Richter poured mana into his shot, he used Analyze on the largest monster. Name, Koran Ebon Tusker. Disposition, Angry. Ebon Tuskers are an evolution beyond Koran Tuskers. The bony protrusions on their body have been hardened to greatly increase their attack. Their enlarged size also increases their health, stamina, and strength, while their coloring helps them hide even in plain sight. Packs of Tuskers led by an Ebon Tusker are almost rabidly aggressive and will fight to the death. What Ebon Tuskers are most known for, however, is their incredibly intense mating practices. Level 22. Health, 712. Mana, 20. Stamina, 712. Strength, 31. Agility, 21. Dexterity, 22. Constitution, 64. Endurance, 71. Intelligence, 2. Wisdom, 3. Charisma, 5. Luck, 10.
That thing is a lot stronger than the others, Richter called out.
No shit,
Sion responded, staring at the boss hog. It had to weigh a ton. The two friends kept imbuing their arrows while the keening and squealing from the Tuskers continued on the far side of the spikes. After seeing the first Tusker die so horridly, Richter thought the rest might stay on the far side of Hisako's spell. All of them immediately started rushing forward, though. Monster after monster foundered on the spikes, but they also destroyed the rocky obstructions in the process. In the meantime, the Ebon Tusker just kept rutting on top of the sow beneath him, not at all worried by the attackers in his lair. Richter and Sion kept pouring mana into their shots. The Tuskers got closer and closer. The ones in front began to act like a meaty plow for the monsters pushing from behind. It wasn't planned at all, as the beasts weren't capable of that, but pushing a wall of dead bodies in front of them greatly reduced the damage many of the Tuskers took crossing Hisako's crowd control spell's AoE. Fortunately, it also slowed them considerably. 5 seconds passed, then 10. Both of the companions had hundreds of mana invested by the time the first Tusker broke through the rock spikes. The two friends released simultaneously. The concussive booms were deafening in the confined space of the cavern. Richter's party knew what to expect, but some of the Tuskers panicked and drove themselves onto rock spikes. Not many of them, but the imbued arrows had a devastating effect. The Tusker that Richter targeted turned into chunks of flesh when the high steel arrow detonated against its face. The shock wave spread out, doing damage to any other creature within 6 feet of the attack. They were also afflicted with mind fog, stun, and psi crystallization randomly. The first effect was the most common by far and basically caused horrible confusion. Though it didn't directly harm those afflicted, it could be disastrous in larger groups. That was made obvious when 3 of the Tuskers started attacking their fellows. A 4th ran to the side, impaling itself on spikes, and a 5th just started running in circles like a dog trying to catch its own tail. The rest of the monsters cleared the spikes and raced towards the party. Richter shouldered his bow and drew both his mace and elementum short sword. He took his place with the tanks, and the battle was joined. The Chaos Seed bellowed as he swung his mace down in an overhand swing. The extra points of agility made moving so much easier. It didn't increase his attack speed, but aiming precise strikes seemed easier now. When he had first learned about the perks of various stats, the prompt had made it clear that there was more to each than what had been stated. He'd never been in combat immediately before and after increasing his agility. It was now pretty obvious that the stat was increasing his accuracy with melee weapons. There seemed to be two direct results of that. One, the likelihood of him landing a successful strike increased. Two, he had a chubby as big as a whale because battling in the dungeon was one of the most awesome experiences of his life. Hisako seemed content to continue as support. She cast a spell that increased the strength of the entire party by +10%, then just cast a ranged spell whenever a shot of opportunity appeared. Sion continued firing arrows, while Sapir shot blasts of air magic at the beasts. The pixie's mana ran out after one beam, and his attack wasn't too strong, but one Tusker was stunned. Sion finished it off with a well-placed arrow to the throat. The sprite called out praise to his Metu pixie, and Sapir's wings fluttered in pride. Bayon cast death magic and fired off dark bolts from his wand. Randolphus backstabbed and fought off any other Tuskers until he could fade back into stealth again. Then he would restart the process. The Tuskers died one after another, but the battle wasn't completely one-sided. Despite the battle prowess of Richter's group, the large number of the creatures coupled with their natural attack and defense meant that some damage got through. The Decamernite was knocked down and had to fight its way back up. Tirad had blood on him from two minor puncture wounds, though Hisako healed the damage almost as quickly as it was caused. Richter had been bitten on the leg, and a spine of one of the Tuskers had scored against his side. Almost none of the damage made it through his armor, though. Only Yoshi escaped the melee completely unscathed. Alma dropped almost 10 of the creatures at once with a well-aimed side blast. It brought some respite from the immediate press of battle. Red blood dripped from the ends of both Richter's mace and his elementum blade. The small gobbets of flesh clinging to the mace were somewhat gross, but there was no denying the weapon was effective. It was much less clean than using a sword, just beating creatures to death with wet smacking sounds. But for better or worse, Richter was still having fun. After Alma used her primary attack, the Chaos Seed fell back a step, leaving Tirad, Yoshi, and the Undead Knight to take over tanking duties for a moment. More than half the beasts were dead, and another 30 were injured. Amazingly, the Ebon Tusker was still in the back of the cavern doing his business. Richter had heard about being happy as a pig in shit, but this was ridiculous. The Chaos Seed was somewhat offended that the monster didn't think he was important enough to even quit fucking and start fighting. Unable to help himself, Richter started to shout, "Hey, pig! Pig fucker! Come fight!" The pig just kept rutting. "Okay," Richter thought, glaring at the monster. "We'll fix this problem now. Right now!" A mental command was all it took. Alma fired a lightning bolt directly into the sow that the Ebon Tusker was enjoying so much. The bolt sizzled into the Tusker, creating a stun effect. That finally got the Ebon Tusker's attention. Just not in the way that Richter wanted. The huge pig monster glared across the cavern and locked eyes with the Chaos Seed. With a savage grunt, the creature shuddered, and the body of the sow finally slumped to the ground. The Ebon Tusker finally started moving towards the party with a determined stride, priapastic member leaving a dripping trail. Richter stared at it in disbelief.
Did that motherfucker just finish?
Yeah, Sion responded, even as he shot another arrow at a Tusker. And he made eye contact with you first.
I saw it.
Mm-hmm, Richter commented furiously, still staring at the Ebon Tusker. He realized he was so angry that his head had started nodding ridiculously fast.
Okay. Okay. Let's do this.
He hung his mace from a belt loop, wanting one hand free for casting. Stepping back up to the line, he laid into another Tusker. the elementum blade splitting its skull easily. Brain matter and chips of bone flew when he yanked his short sword out of its head. Richter turned his attention back to the Ebon Tusker.
I'm about to turn you into chorizo, you dirty mother... God damn it!
Another Tusker had changed direction at the last minute, attacking him rather than Yoshi. The damn thing barreled through his leg and knocked him to the ground. The damage wasn't too bad, especially compared to his hundreds of HP, but it totally ruined his swagger. The Decamerknight stabbed the Tusker with its heavy spear, and Randolphus used backstab to finish it. Sion fired one more arrow, killing the last Tusker that was on its feet.
You okay, man?
The sprite called out. Embarrassed and extremely irritated, his friend got to his feet. The Ebon Tusker was still moving towards them, starting to pick up speed. It clearly planned to bowl them all aside like pins. With its massive size, it might just be possible. The Chaos Seed was over it, though. He was so pissed, he shifted to third person. Sheathing his sword, he responded, Richter's okay. Richter's just unhappy. Then, he sent a final mental order. Alma descended from the cavern roof where she had been clinging to imperfections in the rock surface. The Ebon Tusker never detected her until she had latched onto its head. Then, it was too late. The creature might have been a lair boss, but it was still under level 31. Having no resistance to thought magic and a low intelligence, it was easy pickings for the Dragonling's special attack. It collapsed immediately, one front leg kicking in spasm as she consumed its mental energy. Brain drain made her completely vulnerable as well, so she couldn't use it in the midst of battle, but one-on-one, the Ebon Tusker was just prey to Richter's little predator. The rest of the party swept through the room, giving merciful death blows to the Tuskers that remained alive. Richter paused for a moment to cast Soul Trap on the Ebon Tusker. Then he created his mental fort again. Once he was prepared, he cast Blood Mana. With so many fresh kills to draw on, his mana was restored in mere seconds. The smell left something to be desired, but they had won. The Chaos Seed looked down at the Ebon Tusker, thinking about giving it a quick and merciful death, but then just shrugged and moved on. The monster had been a real dick. He let it suffer. Richter looked around the cavern, still slightly unnerved at seeing the ground drink the blood that fell upon it. That uneasy feeling didn't keep him from sighing in contentment. He'd cleared his first lair. Yep, he thought out to the universe. His village was in the ass-kicking business, and business was good.
Chapter 49, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC.
You have captured Soul Stone of an Ebon Tusker. Durability 20 of 20. Item class, common. Stone level, common. Soul level, common. Status, filled. Weight, 0.2 kilograms. You have been awarded 14,345 experience from Brain Drain against level 22 Koran Ebon Tusker. XP deficit remaining, minus 105,952. The big bastard had given some much-needed experience. Even better, though, Sion, Tirad, and Bayon had leveled. Slaughtering several hundred beasts apparently had its perks, especially with the 25% XP bonus from the Potions of Clarity. The bonuses from Richter's starting location were still insanely clutch. Richter's companions had both reached level 19. Their skills were also progressing well. Each box showed the skill, followed by current level and progress to the next level, and then the affinity. They'd both been deadly when he'd met them, but they were becoming real contenders now. The gnome Deathcaster had made considerable progress as well. When Bayon had been pretending to be a low-level alchemist, he'd only been level 9. Now, he was a respectable level 14. The gnome had been leaving the village almost every day to hunt since getting the Decamerknight as a pet. That, coupled with the large number of skills his pet undead had racked up during the goblin raid, had power-leveled the bald little dude in a very short amount of time. In addition to his increased level, Richter saw that he was only a few percentage points away from skill level 15 in death magic. That was apparently the magic number that let him animate skeletons. It would greatly increase the number of summoned creatures he could command at one time. From conversations with Hisako, he had learned the reason why death magi were feared and hated in most countries. A highly skilled necromancer could marshal an army of the dead and wipe out whole villages and townships. Not that Richter feared this would be the case with Bayon. At least, not really. Besides, death magic was, by far, the basic element Richter was least skilled in, so it would be nice having a competent necromancer by his side. Richter had gained other prompts from the battle. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 13 in blood magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in mace wielding, plus 6% damage when using maces or clubs. Ignore up to 1% of an enemy's armor. Everyone was smiling at each other, happy about the results of their efforts. Then, simultaneously, they all received the same prompts. Congratulations, your party is the first to clear a lair in the Dungeon of Bloody Chaos. You all receive a permanent boost of +5 health for this feat. Each member of your party will also enjoy a temporary attribute boost for the next day. Your boost is +1 endurance. You will also be given a one-time greatly improved loot drop for slaying this lair boss. That, Randolphus began, sounding extremely satisfied, is why I urged us to clear this lair. Not bad, Richter said with a smile. He'd seen plenty of examples of how being the first to do something could have positive consequences in the land. The 5 points of health weren't a game-changer, but it was worth half a point in constitution. The boost to endurance was kinda meh, but it was still better than nothing. Did you all get +1 to endurance in addition to the +5 to health? Most people nodded their heads, but a few said no. Bayon's luck went up by 1, and Sion sourly admitted that his charisma had increased. Richter thought the chaotic nature of the dungeon was asserting itself in the randomization of the boosts. Meanwhile, Hisako was thinking about the blood magic influence on the dungeon.
The increase in health makes quite a bit of sense, Hisako said thoughtfully. From my reading, the bonuses from clearing layers is normally related to the dungeon you are in. Blood magic is closely related to health.
Richter nodded. Why did so many of us get an endurance perk, though? It was supposed to be a random boost. I was thinking we would all get something different due to the chaotic nature of the dungeon.
Temporary boosts are normally associated with whatever populates the lair, my lord,
Randolphus answered delicately. Yeah? And? Richter asked. There was an overloud, throat-clearing noise. Everyone looked up to see Sion standing by the body of the Ebon Tusker. Then, ever so slowly, the sprite put both fists out and stuck his hips backwards. The next series of motions were something that every man on every planet had done at one point in time. The sprite thrust forward and threw his elbows back. Then he reset and repeated, over and over. It was the creepy smile that really sold the performance. It was a bit much, but Richter finally got why most of them had gotten the endurance perk.
Sion!
Hisako snapped. The sprite stopped his antics and hung his head in shame, but as soon as the hearth mother glanced away, he winked at Richter and, with a cheesy look on his face, did it 2 more times. Richter chuckled in spite of himself. Hisako looked back again sharply, but by that time, Sion was already walking away from the body with a perfectly innocent expression on his face. Red spheres began to appear over some of the slain monsters. There were about 11 in all, but the one that caught Richter's eye was hanging over the Ebon Tusker. Every other loot ball, as Richter had started to call them, had been the size of golf balls. This one still had the same slowly shifting surface that made it look like a free-floating sphere of blood, but it was the size of a tennis ball. Smiling in anticipation, Richter reached out and touched the red globe. It disappeared, and an item dropped to the ground. After getting the prompt about increased loot, he had been hoping for some jewels or maybe even an ingot of strong metal. What he got instead changed the game. You have found Chaotic Particle. Durability, absolute. Item class, unknown. Quality, all. Weight, 0.01 to 1,418 kilograms. Traits. This gem contains raw chaos. The tiny gem was the size of a pebble, but it emitted a large amount of light. It was the same gorgeous and enthralling luminescence that had shone from the chaos shard, but on a much smaller scale. Everyone else immediately recoiled from the energy it gave off. It felt wrong to them on the most primal level. All of creation had been made from raw chaos, but every being knew that their very existence could be undone by that unformed stuff of the universe. Everyone but Richter. To him, the particle was the delivery of a promise he could not remember. It was everything. It was the pathway home. While everyone else shied away from the gray gem in an uncontrollable reaction, Richter reached down and cupped it in his hands like an egg fallen from a nest. It was precious and filled with a wondrous miracle. The feeling he had when he was near the dungeon magnified 100-fold, but he barely noticed. All that mattered was the particle.
Congratulations, Chaos Seed. You have found a chaotic particle. This small vessel grants you 2 chaos points. Total chaos points, 95.
Richter immediately drew the power inside himself. He'd forgotten the feeling, like a blinded man forgot color. It was incredible just how alive he was with the energy flowing through him. The sensation wasn't nearly as powerful as when he'd absorbed almost 100 chaos points with the shard, but it was awesome. He came back to himself a few moments later and was surprised to find that he was sweating. Blinking his eyes free, he turned to ask if anyone else was hot. The answer was obvious. Sion's hair was plastered to his face, and Hisako's robes were stuck to her body. She was wet, like moist towelette beer pong night at the sorority wet. Everyone was sweating, but even stranger, ice seemed to be coating the walls and floor. It was like the air had siphoned warmth from the rock. It was like a sauna. Hisako walked up to him, and using the bony finger power that all women seem to get at a certain age, she poked him in the chest.
Keep your chaos magic to yourself.
She punctuated the last 3 words with 3 more pokes. Then she just turned and left the cavern, walking back towards the dungeon entrance. Yoshi shouldered past him, following the Hearth Mother. Bayon looked at him like he was an alien, which is probably why he slipped on the ice and fell flat on his face. That did not help the unnerved gnome's disposition. He got back up quickly and, with a glare at Richter, left the lair. Even Sion looked at him as if to say, "Really, dude?" before leaving the cavern as well. Sapir fluttered after him. Tirad and Randolphus looked extremely discomforted, but they couldn't just abandon their liege lord. Only Alma didn't seem bothered. The dragonling was currently sliding around on the ice, having a grand old time. She was broadcasting a psychic message that sounded surprisingly like, "Whee!" Richter called after the others. "It's not like I planned this!" He paused a moment before adding, "It's chaotic energy! Chaotic!" He shrugged to himself. He didn't really care. He was on cloud 9 after absorbing the particle. Looking at Randolphus and Tirad, he said, "I guess searching the room is up to us. Let's make sure we aren't missing any treasure." The 2 men exchanged a glance, but almost in unison told him, "Yes, my lord."
Chapter 50, Day 143, Kuborn 33, 0 AOC. The fact that the dungeon could create raw chaotic energy was incredible. Any reservations Richter had about making it stronger faded like smoke in the wind. If growing the dungeon made it more likely to get chaotic materials, he would do anything.
The prompt after finishing the lair had said the loot would be much better than what he could normally expect, so Richter didn't think he'd have chaotic energy falling out of his butt anytime soon, but it was still amazing. So far, he'd only scratched the surface of his chaotic powers. His plan for the future mentality had kept him from blowing too many chaos points in case he was in a situation later that required a large amount. Now that he knew he could get chaos points from two different sources, though, the dungeon and leveling, well, it was time to buy some cool shiz. You have accessed the Sea of Chaos. The sea contains everything that was, is, or could be. Choose wisely, for you may choose the catalyst for your own death and salvation. You may reach the first stratum at a cost of 1 chaos point. You may reach the second stratum at a cost of 3 chaos points. You may reach the third stratum at a cost of 5 chaos points. Which level do you wish to access?
Richter paused for a moment. If he was going to do this, he was going to do it right. He reached into his bag of holding and pulled out one of his 4 remaining potions of Selex Luck. Downing the silver liquid never made him feel any different. Sometimes the valuable potion, most likely easily worth 10 to 20 gold, didn't seem to have any effect at all. Other times, it made all the difference. He turned back to the prompts and spent a single chaos point accessing the first level. Total chaos points, 94.
First stratum offerings. Belt of spell stealing. Cost, 5 chaos points. Provides a belt that allows the wearer to steal spells that have been cast. This removes the spell knowledge from the target and keeps the magic bound to the belt to be used at the wearer's discretion. Can hold 3 novice-level spells of the basic elements. Each spell can be used once per day. Vial of Spirit Weakness. Cost 3 chaos points. This poison is imbued with the deeper magic spirit. Anyone afflicted with this will be 461% more susceptible to possession, mental control, or any spirit magic. Shoes of Cursed Jumping. Cost 4 chaos points. Provide shoes that increase the jump capability of the wearer by 319%. Proper landings are softened by the magic of these boots. The wearer must jump 500 times per day. Once donned, these boots cannot be removed except by an adept-level spell of the basic elements, an initiate-level spell of the deeper magics, or a higher energy spell.
Damn, Richter thought to himself. He immediately saw himself jumping around a battlefield like an absolute boss, firing arrows, getting out of danger. He might even be able to do a superhero landing. They weren't even armor, so he should be able to wear them under his sprite boots. If it wasn't for that pesky curse thing, he'd snatch them up in a heartbeat. The more he thought about it, though, he hated being forced to do anything, let alone jump 500 times a day. Even with the curse, Hisako could probably remove them, but not being able to take something off, that sucked. Also, he doubted the item self-cleaned. He couldn't even imagine the foot fungus situation if he sweated in them for a month straight. Nope. Those weren't for him. The spirit poison was also interesting, but the most fascinating option of all was the belt. When the land had only been a game, Spell Thieves had been one of the most hated and desired players to be around. Casters despised them, but if you had a good one, it could neutralize several enemy magi at once. Best of all, it wasn't fucking cursed. He made his choice.
Total chaos points, 89.
As soon as he chose, the prompt disappeared and a hole with ragged edges appeared in front of him. It looked out into the roiling gray void of pure chaos. Tirad and Randolphus could not bear looking at the rent, but to Richter, it was just a slightly pleasing tableau. The crumbling voice spoke
echoing off the walls of the chamber.
Claim your possession, Chaos Seed.
Richter reached in and his hand disappeared as it crossed the plane of the small portal. His questing hand felt metal. Grabbing it, he pulled the belt of spell-stealing into his reality. The entire thing was made of interlocking rings of black metal. In front of the belt, there were three clear jewels. It was simple, but not plain. To Richter's eye, it looked quietly elegant. You have found Belt of Spell Stealing. Durability 193 of 193. Item class, unusual. Quality, exceptional. Weight, 1.6 kilograms. Traits. Wearing this belt lets you capture cast magic. You must be within 25 yards of either the caster, target, or path of the spell. Only novice-level spells of the basic elements can be stolen. This belt can hold 3 spells at a time. Each spell may be released once per day and 3 times total before it is lost to the ether. This thing was awesome! It was like his ring of spell storage, but it could be used offensively. Stealing spells from others could be absolutely incredible. It could also give a non-magic caster access to magic for a short time. Someone like Tarad, in fact. He looked at his companion, who was searching the cavern for any hidden compartments. Richter realized that was probably a fruitless exercise, seeing as how the man lacked the Pierce the Veil skill, but even a blind rat could find cheese. Besides, Randolphus was there to help, and the spy was an adept in the skill. Richter put the belt in his bag. He would experiment with it later, but for now, he had a decision to make. Whatever had happened in the past, he was pretty sure the luck potion was working overdrive this time. He hadn't been planning to spend more points, but if the first stratum had given him the belt, what would the third stratum offer? He had to find out. Total chaos points, 84. Third Stratum Offerings. Recipe, Gilded Lie. Cost, 16 chaos points. Provides a potion recipe that if poured over iron will change it to gold for 1 to 4 days. Extra Respawn. Cost, 25 chaos points. Purchasing this will extend your respawns by 1. Your respawn time will revert back to the previous length. Unknown Skillbook. Cost, 32 chaos points. Provides a skillbook that will teach you an unknown skill that you possess an affinity for. Reading this book will advance you to skill level 25. Richter blinked. He finally had access to a skillbook. He had no idea what kind of skill it would give, but still, a skillbook! He had wanted to get his hands on one of these ever since he'd reached journeyman rank in enchanting. No one could tell him how to make one, though. Not Glorin, the other village enchanter, and not even the scribes, Bartle and Bee. Bartle had just told him that while spell books were valuable, skill books were much more so. They took much longer to create, and the price was normally measured in platinum, not gold. Now that he'd thought about it, though, he'd never asked Randolphus. The Chamberlain was always doing a million different things at once, and Richter seemed to be fighting for his life every other day. He shrugged. No time like the present. Hey, Randy, the Chamberlain looked up from the back of the cavern. What can you tell me about skill books? Specifically, about how they're made?
They are extremely valuable items, my lord. Extremely valuable and immensely time-consuming to create. I have only made one in my lifetime, and I doubt I will make another.
Why? Richter asked. I've made spell books. What's the difference?
I, too, have created spellbooks with the help of a scholar, my lord. The time required is minuscule compared to a skill book. The base time to create a spellbook is 1 day per spell level. A level 5 spell requires 5 days to finish.
Richter nodded. He already knew that.
The base time, Randolphus continued, to create a skill book increases with each level imparted, however. A level 1 skill book would only require 1 day, but a level 2 book would require 3 days, and a level 3, 6. A level 5 skill book would therefore take 15 days to finish.
Richter nodded. It wasn't a 1-to-1 ratio like with spell books. It was easy to see how skill books could take an insane amount of time to produce.
The unknown book would get him to level 25, enough to get him to the first level of the apprentice rank. He started to calculate just how long it would take to make it when Alma interjected,
325 days, Master.
Richter couldn't help but hear the smugness in her thoughts.
I would have figured it out, Alma, Richter called out in irritation.
Heh, was the only reply.
Richter glared at his familiar for a moment before looking back at Randolphus. So you just need a high-level scholar to help you then, right?
There were talents Bartle and B could purchase that increased the speed of making magic books, and every skill-level inscribing decreased the creation time by 2%.
That is almost always helpful, but just as with spellbooks, someone involved in the process must have the enchanting skill. There is more that you do not know, however. The skill books require even longer to create as you reach higher ranks. While each novice skill level requires a number of days equal to itself, level 8 adding 8 days and level 9 adding 9, initiate skill levels increase the gap by 2. Put another way, the 10th skill level adds 11 days, and the 11th adds 13. This increases with each rank from apprentice to journeyman, until each master level increases the time requirement by 6 days.
Richter tried to wrap his head around that and do some calculations.
He did take a second to tell Alma that she'd been flat wrong about her calculations. There was more than a little snark in it. After a minute, he just grunted. It was math he couldn't do in his head, which in turn, naturally and understandably, made him angry.
There isn't any way to shorten that amount of time?
There is, my lord. In addition to working with a high-level scribe, each rank that you achieve in the skill you are imparting increases the speed that you can create the book. Someone that reaches initiate rank in small blades, for instance, can make a skill book twice as fast as a novice. Reaching the rank of journeyman gives a speed boost of 300%, and a master can create a skill book 6 times as fast. That is one of the primary reasons that only masters and adepts take the time to create skill books. Even so, it can be the work of months or years.
They also cannot be copied or replicated by scribes, unlike spellbooks.
This is yet another reason why they are so expensive. Finally, even if the skillbook is successfully created, it is worthless to anyone who lacks the proper affinity.
What happens if someone without the required affinity reads the book? Richter asked, curious.
If they have less than a 50% affinity in the skill, they would not even be able to use the skillbook. If they possessed middling aptitude, then they would advance in the skill until their affinity reached 50%. The skill book would still be destroyed and the knowledge of the higher levels would be lost forever.
Randolphus stopped searching the chamber and looked at Richter.
Why do you ask, my lord?
I've got a decision to make, Richter answered absently.
He turned his attention back to the gray table hovering in his vision. From when it had appeared, he only had 7 minutes before it disappeared, and with it, the opportunity to purchase these items. On the one hand, the skill he got might be total crap. On the other, it would still be a new skill. Also, he'd get the experience from reaching skill levels 10 and 20, even if it was a skill like knitting. It wasn't really a decision either, he realized. The southern gambler in him just had to know. He bought the skill book. Total chaos points, 52.
The voice intoned again, sounding gravelly this time, and another hole in reality appeared.
Richter reached through and grabbed his prize. Pulling it through the rent, he saw that the book was about 2 inches thick. It was bound with some type of black hide and had a soft, almost furry feel. A symbol was engraved upon it. Most people probably would not be able to read it. Hell, according to Randolphus, most people in the land couldn't read anything. Richter recognized it as Tivrish, though, also known as Old Common by the people of the River Peninsula. His Gift of Tongues ability was not as immediately impressive as Limitless, but it had saved his life more than once. Here, it let him know that the symbol communicated 2 words, unconventional materials.
You have found Skill Book of Unconventional Materials, durability 18 of 18, item class scarce. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 0.8 kilograms. Traits. This book was created by the orc master tinker Bjerstrom. His ability to create bizarre items with the most unexpected of materials brought him much fame. Unfortunately, his penchant for adding decorative phalluses to his rings, necklaces, and belts also drove away many patrons. Despite this, his creativity has made him remembered throughout the centuries, even more so as the orc race rarely produces crafters. Scholars often wonder what masterpieces he could have produced if his life had not been cut short by an ill-advised liaison with an ogre maiden. Reading this book will instill you with knowledge of the subskill Unconventional Materials. This skill enables you to use materials that could not normally be combined to create magical items. These unconventional combinations can also create new and unexpected effects. You will immediately gain 25 skill levels and be granted the rank of apprentice. As this is a subskill of crafting, the primary skill will also be advanced to apprentice rank as well.
What? This book was amazing! Totally worth the chaos points he'd spent. It not only increased a skill that he had wanted to explore for a long time, crafting, but it also gave him a sub-skill that let him experiment and try new combinations of materials. When he had played the VR version of The Land, good crafters were worth almost their weight in emeralds. Many players learned to make a low-level ring of health or a necklace of weak stealth. Those were basic enchanted items that, though useful, were also kind of a dime a dozen. Only a few players had learned to make unique and truly wondrous items. That was because crafting had been both an elusive art and an exacting science. To make even a low-level ring of stamina, specific materials had to be combined in a specific sequence. Varying even a small amount would negate the enchantment. To make matters worse, creating a stronger ring of stamina didn't require just more of the same. You might have to use a completely different process or entirely different materials. That was where the art came in. The most powerful items typically were crafted with components gleaned from slain monsters or discovered relics. Of course, there was no manual for unique items, and people had spent countless hours combing wikis to no avail. Somehow, certain players just had the knack of it and could make miracles happen. All the people who made such items ever said was that they had just felt certain materials could be combined in certain ways. Though there were countless differences between the game he had played and the reality of The Land, apparently this facet remained true. From speaking to the few villagers with the crafting skill, he had learned that the specific set of steps and materials needed to make magic items were called templates. They served the same purpose as building blueprints or weapon schematics. Like all knowledge in The Land, the designs were jealously guarded and expensive in the extreme. Life in the Mist Village had many perks, but access to top-tier merchandise like that wasn't one of them. This had been the primary reason that he hadn't been able to advance his crafting skill. As a specialist enchanter, it was infuriating. If he understood the book's description correctly, though, he would be able to successfully make his own new templates.
Thank you, Potion of Luck!
Richter cracked the spine. A beam of light shot from both the left and right sides of the book, bathing his face in light. Do you wish to absorb the knowledge of the Skill Book of Unconventional Materials, yes or no? With great anticipation, Richter selected yes. His heart started beating faster and his pupils widened. He knew. When he learned spells from a book, the sensation was that of knowledge flowing into him. He received a sequence of facts and the ability to apply them. That was a pale shadow of this experience. Richter's consciousness poured into the book itself. He watched as Bjerstrom initially learned the subskill. No, while the orc invented the subskill. The Chaos Seed stood silent witness as the orc was first ridiculed, then beaten by the other members of his tribe. That derision turned to grudging respect as the orc made items that gave his people an edge in battle. As his skills progressed further, that silent respect turned to cheers of esteem and veneration. Richter learned as Bjerstrom learned.
He watched over his shoulder, and occasionally it seemed that the orc spoke to him, explaining both successes and failures. At times, he even was the orc, a sensation that was interesting but also unsettling. When the experience ended, it was clear that the orc was only beginning to scratch the surface of his skills and experiences. Richter was left with skill experience sufficient to make him an apprentice. As his consciousness flowed out of the book and back into his body, he became aware that someone was shouting his name.
Richter!
As I told you, Sprite Scion, the connection cannot be broken once begun. Now that the book is crumbling, he will quickly come back to himself.
I heard you before, Scion snapped at Randolphus. I just want this Gyothi to know how damn dumb he is.
What? Richter asked, confused. He felt like he'd taken the deepest nap of his life. He was groggy, but also well-rested.
Why are you shouting, Scion? Why? Why?
His friend asked, his voice rising even higher with each word.
That is why!
The sprite pointed behind him. Richter looked and was shocked to see 10 Genet Prowlers and 7 Koran Tusker bodies piled near the entrance to the cavern. He was sure the Prowlers hadn't been there before, and unless Richter was wrong, there hadn't been any Tuskers lying in that particular spot either.
How?
The Chaos Seed asked.
You've been staring into the Goblin Cursed book for the past 2 hours, asshole!
Scion's familiarity with the swears Richter had taught him was really improving.
2 hours?
Richter repeated. His head still felt a bit foggy. He could remember living through so many experiences with Beerstrom, but now it felt like it had all passed in an instant.
Are you sure?
He asked. Scion's face adopted the most incredulous expression imaginable. Turning to Tirad, he asked,
Did you really just ask me if I'm sure? Am I sure?
The last 3 words were clipped and spread out. They were further punctuated by him leaning close to Richter's face. His final words were said with all the dismissive power of a teenage girl asked about her day.
Just die.
The sprite took a deep breath and controlled himself. Even he thought that was a bit mean, but he still wasn't going to let Richter fully off the hook.
Yes, I'm sure. Tirad and Randolphus have been protecting you from any dungeon creature that wanted to eat your helpless guilty ass for most of the last 2 hours. I've been helping them since I returned about 15 minutes ago. You've just been staring into that book with that light shining on your face, and not even shaking you would snap you out of it.
A fact which I told him, my lord, though he felt the need to test the theory himself. Several times, in fact, Randolphus added dryly, along with his slap-him-back-to-reality hypothesis.
That explained why his cheek was stinging a bit. Richter looked at Scion, who just shrugged, unapologetic and still belligerent. The Chaos Seed took a beat and thought about it. He did owe his friends for protecting him.
Well, I apologize. I didn't know that would happen. Did you ask? Scion put to him, clearly already knowing the answer.
Well, no, Richter replied.
What have we said about pushing magical buttons or using magical items when you don't know what they do?
Scion said in a lecturing tone.
Richter was about to protest that he was not in fact a child when the sprite continued.
Or have you forgotten about plunging Yoshi, Daniela, and me into a pit filled with eaters? Or the time after that when you picked a fight with a rock giant? Or the time after that when you used a demon's soul to grow the crystal garden and almost got us all killed?
Well, when you say like that, Richter began.
Or the bloodstone? Scion cut him off. Hey, that turned out all right, Richter protested.
He gestured around to the dungeon as proof. Scion sighed and his voice grew serious.
I'm starting to understand that impetuous action is a part of your nature. You seem to crave power and change. I also know that you can learn, my friend. Though your actions have brought us wonder,
Scion mirrored Richter's earlier gesture and waved at the dungeon around them.
They have also attracted danger and enemies. We all rely upon you. Your village has nearly 1,000 people that could die if you were to disappear. Please do not forget that.
Richter nodded and accepted the admonishment.
I will. Thank you for watching out for me. I still need to remind myself to rely on y'all. I'm used to doing everything myself. I'm lucky to have such companions.
He made eye contact with each in turn, and they all nodded to him. Whatever happened in the future, right now, they were united. Putting a wry smile on his face, Richter added, It was sweet of you to worry when I didn't come back to the village. It's downright cuddly that you came to check on me.
Yeah, Sion said, rolling his eyes. I barely noticed you weren't around.
Then why did you come back to the dungeon? Richter asked.
A mischievous look crossed Sion's face. Crom is back from his trial, and he...